Sie hören KDZ im Dialog. Den Podcast des KDZ, Zentrum für Verwaltungsforschung. Wir bieten Einblicke und Hintergründe in die öffentliche Verwaltung und versuchen sie Ihnen verständlich und spannend zu erklären.
Welcome to a new episode of KDZ in Dialogue, the KDZ Center for Public Administration Research podcast. My name is Siegfried Fritz. In today's episode, we are taking a closer look at local governments across Europe. Although municipalities are a key part of public administration, their role, structure, and financial capacity can vary significantly from country to country. In some systems, they play a central role in delivering public services and shaping local development. In others, their responsibilities and fiscal autonomy are much more limited. To discuss these differences and explore what makes local government systems effective and resilient, I am joined today by Thomas Borok, Managing Director of KDZ and author of the European Local Government Report 2025. Thomas, welcome to the podcast and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Sigi. Thank you for having me.
Thomas, we are talking about the local government report. What role do municipalities play within public administration systems across Europe?
They play an important role. And in the report, you see this with especially one figure, and this is the figure of how much do local governments spend compared in the share of the GDP in the countries. Huh? Mm-hmm. And there we see that it's in average about 10% or 10.5% of GDP, of the economic force of a country, is the expenditure of local governments in the European Union.
Mm-hmm. That's an amount which is not to oversee, to say it in these words. Why is it then important to compare the local government systems in Europe, or especially in Europe, maybe internationally?
Because in average, for example, it's 10.5%. But when we look into the countries, it's absolutely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from about 30% of GDP, for example, in Denmark, to 4% increase.
Okay.
So we have an average, which is very impressive. But then when we look at the different countries, it's really different. And this is important. It's important to understand these differences. It's important to learn also from these differences. And coming back also to the European Union, which is now negotiating the new multi-annual financial framework. So how is the EU spending its money in future? It's of course important to know and understand the differences of local level and local government fundings in order to adapt to this new multi-annual financial framework of EU.
You already are talking about the different structures and what we can learn about looking at the different countries and the different municipalities. How do they differ across Europe, maybe in terms of size and responsibilities, and are there different governance models?
Yes, they differ in every of the dimensions you mentioned. First one, they differ in the number of municipalities within a country. So in total, we counted about 85,000 municipalities in the European Union. But within the countries, it differs very broadly. It's also related to the size of the country. Huh? So in France, we see, 35,000 municipalities. And then we have countries, of course, also smaller countries, with just about 100 municipalities. So that is one difference. Then the main difference is the size of the municipalities itself. So the number of residents per municipality in average. And within the EU, it's about, at average, 22,000 residents per municipalities average. But this also differs quite a lot within the European Union countries. So we have, for example, Denmark with about 60,000 inhabitants or residents per municipality in average. And then we have on the other side the Czech Republic with 1,700.
Mm.
And then there are countries like Austria, which is in between with 4,500 residents per municipality. So there are huge differences. And of course, this links also to the budget of the municipalities, but much more important to the competences.
Mm.
So we see countries, especially in the Nordic the Nordic countries, the Scandinavian countries, also including Denmark and even the Netherlands, which have a quite high developed welfare model on the local level. So social services, education, health are there quite intensively located to the local level. And then we see other countries where the municipalities are just, let's say, an organizational unit or an institutional unit with very minor competences, maybe in regional planning, but not on budget, with very few budgetary consequences. Yeah.
And what can we learn about these statistics, about these facts? You can compare the numbers, but what do they say?
First of all, it's important that within the European Union, we have the Charter of Local Self-Government. Mm-hmm. That doesn't come from the European Union itself, but from the Council of Europe. But this is a kind of basic law of how in the European Union and in Europe in general, local governments should be organized with a high local autonomy, meaning you have, of course, a mayor, elected mayor and elected councils, but you have also quite important and high valuable services located to the local government and linked to that also the money for it. So this is a kind of law, call it soft law within the European Union, saying we need this strong autonomy. And when you look at the figures and when you compare it, you see that not in all countries this strong autonomy is implemented. So this is what we learn. Huh? We learn that we have countries with a very strong local government and strong local autonomy. And then we have others which maybe hardly fulfill this European idea of local self-government because they don't have money, they don't have the size, and they also don't have the competences. And this is what needs to be further developed in order to have also cohesion in the European Union.
When I was reading the report, I saw you were writing about the more fragmented systems and more consolidated ones. What are the differences between these systems?
Yeah, we see when we compare the municipalities, when we compare on the one side the budget, on the other side the sizes, which means the average number of residents and the competences, we see some clusters. And we see so-called, we called it a European mainstream model, where we saw that most of the municipalities are located, meaning that they have about 8 to 15% of the GDP as expenditures on the one side. Mm-hmm. On the other side, how to say an average size between 8,000 and 15,000 residents. And also linked to that, the services which they are providing. So services like kindergarten, services like schools are then in this cluster. And those more fragmented, meaning that they are smaller, they have smaller sized municipalities. Like I said before, in the Czech Republic, with 1,700 inhabitants, that's a very fragmented system with a high number of local governments and a very small size of these municipalities. So they are highly fragmented, they have less budget, they have less competences, and so linked to that quite weak local autonomy.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain how does this fragmentation affect the everyday life of the inhabitants or the government, the local government itself?
Yeah, it means that the services which the local governments are providing in other countries, like good schools, good kindergartens, but also the citizen service, where do you get a passport, for example, also sport activities, all these kind of things are limited in these kind of countries. Maybe they are located to a regional level or to a central level, but based on the principles of subsidiarity. So we want these things which can be provided on the local level, also being provided by the local level, is not fulfilled there. So we see that the services are not in the highest possible quality provided. We see also that they are sometimes more expensive because this is not so efficient to provide these quite complex services in smaller entities. So the thing comes together in a lower quality and higher costs, which we see in average.
However, you're talking about smaller municipalities and larger municipalities, but are there on the one side advantages for smaller municipalities or are there just disadvantages and vice versa? Do larger municipalities always have advantages, or do they also have disadvantages compared to the smaller ones?
Yeah, from theory, the smaller ones are nearer to the citizens, huh? Because when you're smaller and you have elections, then you maybe know the mayor better, huh? Than in other systems where you have these huge municipalities, like, for example, in Denmark, with 60,000. Huh? So this is one thing. The other thing is also that there is the issue of the identity. So when you have a system or a country with a traditionally small municipalities and a kind of historic development towards that, this is also an issue of identity. So there are, of course, pros of the smaller sizes, but I think there is a possibility for a kind of compromise. Huh? Mm. When you see countries with an average less than other than 5,000 municipalities, this is really getting a very weak local autonomy system, which is then also within the country. For example, in negotiating with the central government for fundings, for fiscal equalization, a very weak position. When you have then 5,000 municipalities, which should negotiate with one big government, it's not so easy. Then you have just 100 big municipalities with a political dimension, with a political force behind it, in order to negotiate with the government.
Mm. Would you say there is a concrete number of inhabitants which is the preferable size of a municipality?
The point is, from the literature and from the studies, we know there is no perfect size of municipality. So this doesn't exist. It is really linked to historic developments and also to the structure of the state in general. Do you have, like Austria, Länder or regions, strong regions, a federal system, or don't you have it? Huh? Mm-hmm. If you don't have it, you need bigger municipalities. So there is, from the literature and from the studies, there is no perfect size. But what our study shows is that there is this European mainstream model, which we found out, which goes into the direction that we see there is a cluster between 8,000 and 50,000 inhabitants in average. Mm-hmm. In average. And this is what we take here also as a kind of, role model. It could go into this direction and go into this direction. Meaning also that when you have municipalities within a country with less than 500 inhabitants, you really should consider that these municipalities should undergo a reform process with amalgamation. That's how it's called. So you try to bring them together. Of course, there is also the intermunicipal cooperation, which could be enforced, but with this kind of small municipalities, when it's really beyond this size of these 500, and we have really in the European Union, we have several countries with still this small size of municipalities, there should be reforms considered because of the quality of the services and, of course, of the efficiency. Imagine with the digitalization, and also with the global changes, what a mayor has to do and has to be responsible for. And this is really getting more and more challenging for these small size municipalities.
Thank you for your thoughts. You were talking about the structures, about the size of municipalities. Let's talk about the finances. How are the municipalities financed across Europe? Is there also a typical model you found out in your studies, or is it also different from country to country?
This is also very, very different. So on the one side, we found out, which is in our view a very important finding, that the expenditures are increasing faster than the revenues. So this is the first thing we found out. We made a comparison between the last 20 years, and there we saw that there is a gap, a widening gap between the expenditures and the revenues. So less revenues, higher expenditures on the one side. On the other side, we found also out that the expenditures were increasing faster than the GDP. So this is also something we see and which is quite challenging. The point is, it's not in all countries the same. So we have countries like, for example, Germany, but also Austria, where the expenditures are growing much faster than the GDP. And then we have other countries where it's even the other way around. Huh? Mm. But this is a challenge. Then additionally, we saw that, yes, the compilation of the budget is also very different. We always look at the taxes, at their own taxes of a municipality. So what can they do by themselves? There are these property taxes, for example, and there are also some economy taxes. In Austria, we call it communal tax, which are so-called own taxes under responsibility of the municipalities. And the European Charter of Local Self-Government says that municipalities should have the right to collect own resources, own taxes.
Mm.
And here we see a huge difference. For example, we see that in countries like France and Sweden, about 50%, half, even more than half of the local government budgets in these countries come from own taxes, 50%. And then we have countries where it's just 6%. And Austria is around 15%, as far as I remember. So we see a huge difference in the structure and in the compilation of the budgets, of the local government budgets. And we need more local government own resources, own taxes in the European Union. So role models where it's up to 50%, they are, let's say, the front runners. But I mean, going in the direction of 30%, that would be important for all of the countries, because then they are independent. They don't depend on transfers from the national government or from so-called shared taxes. Always the national government can, or the central government can, make pressure on the municipalities, on the local government, with negotiations or something that. So that's important, and there we see a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Who are these countries who have particularly strong local governments and in terms of fiscal capacity and autonomy?
We always look at the Nordic countries. So really the stronger ones are the Scandinavian countries, are also the Netherlands and then Denmark. So they are kind of role models for strong local governments. We see it in the composition of their budgets with their own resources on the one side. We see it also on the size of their budgets compared to the GDP and also to the general government expenditures. And we see it also in their competences, in their tasks which they have. Schools, hospitals, for example, universities partly. Yeah? So we see huge competences there going into this welfare model. I don't want to say that this is really the big picture which should be implemented in all of the countries.
Mm.
No, but going towards this direction of having higher local own resources, clear competences, for example, in health and education, not mixed ones where it's then paid, you know, part is paid by the government, by the central government, part is paid by regions, part is paid by social security funds, and part is paid by municipalities. This has to stop. And in these role model countries, the systems are more clear, more divided, and this makes governing easier.
So you see a clear pattern which describes the way for better performing municipalities like the northern ones.
Yes.
And are they then definitely more effective in their services, or are they more resilient in crisis?
We didn't check this in our report. We just know from our work that, for example, the effectiveness is, of course, linked to somehow to the size of this municipality. So you get additional effectiveness, means the quality of the services. You get additional support in having higher and better services. This is what we see. We cannot say that it's really cheaper. We don't see this in our figures.
Coming back to the own source revenues, what are the main sources of the own source revenues, and how do they concrete contribute to the fiscal autonomy in countries like the northern countries, and how is it, on the other hand, in countries with smaller municipalities or municipalities with less possibilities?
I mean, the main own tax worldwide is the property tax for the local governments. And here, I mean, we are sitting here in Austria. Here we know that Austria has a very, very limited property tax, for example, on the local level. Even, and this comes from another study from us, even per capita in full figures, less than, for example, Montenegro. Now we have also another fiscal decentralization report for South and Eastern European countries. where we compare Austria and our neighboring countries. So Austria is here very weak on the property tax. This is the main tax. The other tax is the so-called business tax, which is always located to the local government. So businesses in the municipality pay differently, some on the turnover, some on the number of employees, business tax. So in general, these are the two big own resources. And based on that, you have a higher independence of your own budget. I mean, to be honest, on the other side, of course, when you rely to a high extent on this business tax and the economy goes down, like we had it in the economic crisis 2007, but also now with COVID, of course, the municipalities are suffering the same as, let's say, the central government when the economy goes down. But nevertheless, you have then as a mayor, when you have this business tax, something to work on. You are then interested that companies come in your municipality. You will support business in your municipality because you can expect higher income based on that.
That makes municipalities more independent, for sure. In Austria, we talk since, I think, more than 2 years about the fiscal pressure on municipalities. Do you have any findings about the fiscal pressures of the European municipalities? Do they also fight fiscal pressures?
Yes, they do. They do. And this is what we saw in this gap between the revenues and the expenditures. So the expenditures are increasing in the last 20 years much faster than the revenues. And in the end, this is the fiscal pressure which you see. I know in general that the expenditures were increasing or were doubling in the last 20 years on a nominal way. Now they are about 2,000 billion euros a year in the European Union on the local level expenditures. And this was in the last 20 years a doubling. And at the same time, the GDP was not doubling, but it was just 95%, something like that. So these figures show also this fiscal pressure, which are increasing. And we see in countries like Germany and Austria that this gap on the one side between revenues and expenditures and on the other side between expenditures and the GDP in Austria and Germany were the highest within the EU countries.
And how does this gap between expenditure growth and revenue development affect the local governments? I mean, maybe the investments in infrastructure and so on decreases.
That's true. That's the first point. So first, they have to, how to say, check where money is coming from. It's getting from debts on the one side. They have to reduce their services or reconsider their services. And they are saving money, as you said, with the investments. Nevertheless, the municipalities in the European Union are still one of the highest public investor because in total, in the EU average, about 43% of the public investments come from the local level. That's about 280 billion euros a year. And this is about 1.6% of the GDP. But when you then look into the figures, this is also really absolutely different between the countries. So when we look at the investments and when we look at the share of the local government investments on the total investments, this goes from 2.5% in Malta to 57% in Finland. You see also this high difference. So, and we see, of course, that those countries which are facing the highest troubles or problems with their fiscal balance reduce their investments at the highest. So they do not get up to the 57% of Finland, but they are then much lower, for example, in Germany and also in Austria.
Mm-hmm. Let's look ahead now. What do you think? How should local government systems in Europe should evolve over the next maybe 10 or maybe 20 years? What is the way to go?
The way to go is for sure with reforms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see these really, really fundamental differences in the European Union. We see this, how to say, it is a European mainstream model with 8 to 15% of GDP also these 8,000 inhabitants or a little bit larger. So it should go into this direction on the one side. To have strong local governments which have play an important role within their own countries, but also on the European level. Looking at the EU budget in the future, it will be a higher challenge for the municipalities to get EU money. So the reforms which are now going on for the new multi-annual financial framework of the European Union, it's now under negotiations. But it goes into the direction that the central governments will play a higher role. And if the municipalities want money, they need a stronger voice within their countries and on the EU level. So we need reforms. We need reforms on this level. Second, the autonomy as an important principle, local autonomy as an important principle of the European Union needs to be strengthened. This means, local fundings, own local fundings, own local resources need to be further developed. It cannot be that there are countries with just 3% of these own local fundings and others with 50%. That should not stay. When you ask me for what is in 10 years, this should be further developed. And we also have to consider if these different competences which we see on the local level in the EU, I would not say should be standardized, but we should intensively learn more from each other. Does it make sense to have primary health care on the local level or implemented by the local level? Or is it better located to the regional level or to the central level? So we have to learn here from each other and also how it could be financed. So when I look 10 years into the future, I look into a more consolidated European system, also being aware that Europe is different and should stay also different. You cannot say that the municipality in Portugal should be the same like in Poland, but nevertheless, learn from each other and take a little bit advantage of the role models that should be the direction.
So, Thomas, thank you very much for your time, for your insights, for your suggestions. Dear listeners, if you would like to learn more about the European Local Government Report, you can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening and hear you next time.
Wenn Ihnen diese Folge von KDZ im Dialog gefallen hat, freuen wir uns über eine Weiterempfehlung und Ihr Abonnement. Weitere Informationen über unsere Podcasts und unsere Arbeit für die öffentliche Verwaltung finden Sie auf unserer Website www.kdz.eu. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Bis zum nächsten Mal.